On the Pilot TV podcast this week, we're back on the beef with Jeremy Allen White and the gang for season two of Culinary Stress Fest, The Bear, looking at another true crime drama through the Phelpsy lens in The Sixth Commandment on BBC One, and hitting the courts for Aidan Turner starring tennis drama 15 Love on Prime. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a podcast that is currently recording on Thursday, the 13th of July, also known as the day the whole of Hollywood looks poised to grind to a halt for the foreseeable future. Maybe it will all be resolved by the time we go out on Monday, but that seems like a slightly long shot. However, we'll get onto that a little bit later, and two people who are not currently on strike are Kay Ribeiro and Boyd Hilton, though after being forced to sit through Foundation on last week's Pilot Plus, Kay is probably not far off that. Mm-hmm. How's it going, guys? You good?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Is there a union for podcasters?
Do you know what? I don't think there is. Should we start one?
Yeah, podcaster.
The NUP.
Host
even
union.
Just a foo, support line.
PHU. Foo.
Foo.
Yeah.
A helpline, I think.
Yeah,
well, helpline.
Some kind of crisis line for you. Yeah. So that you can call whenever I force you to watch something you don't want to watch. Yeah, that seems perfectly reasonable. All right, good. There's something for us to get on for next episode. Before we begin, we've got some housekeeping. Oh. I should remind everyone that Saturday, the 19th of August, is currently the most important date in your diary because our 250th episode is going to play out live at King's Place in London. You can buy tickets now for just, I don't know, £14 something. We'll have guests.
You don't know how much they cost.
It's 14 something. 14, 50 maybe? I don't know. It's close. You know, we can have guests. I have no idea who those guests are going to be, but they will be fabulous. There's going to be bants. There's going to be reviews. There's going to be news. There's going to be a Q&A with, you know, you fine people, where I will triage questions live in the room.
No.
Live in the room.
Live triaging.
Actually, right? To be fair, this might be easier than his current system. At least you can just point to people.
Yeah.
And just, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Live triaging. And did we mention there's going to be cake for everyone? Maybe not everyone. And I also can't guarantee it won't make the mill. But look, especially since two of us have never made a cake in our lives. But the Great Pilot TV Bake Off will be glorious. It's a one-of-a-kind event. So go to kingsplace.co.uk/pilot250. I'll try and remember to put the link in the pod description as well for ease. But buy your tickets now, people. Buy them.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, that's right.
I really feel like this event should be sponsored by Imodium.
Really?
Yes.
Well, after the is that because,
the cake? Yeah,
yeah,
I'm really worried about
your
this.
Cake properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's any kind of rawness about it, I'm worried about making people ill.
I mean, now
well,
I am as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's
you
really
should
awful.
Be.
We're supposed to be encouraging people to come
oh,
to
yeah,
this
okay,
thing.
I'm sure the venue's got insurance. I hope.
But listeners, my message is, if you think, you know, oh, it's Saturday night, I want to go out and party. I mean, what time will we be finished? We'll be done. You can still go out to the clubbing if you want.
Yes.
Afterwards.
You can
go to clubbing.
Crucially, Boyd's celebrity friends will take you clubbing after the event.
Yeah. If not, you can just go on the Raz with Boyd. I mean,
yeah,
that
that's right.
alone is worth the price of the ticket.
Everyone back to Boyd's, actually, afterwards. That's what it is. If you are a Pilot Plus subscriber, everyone back to Boyd's afterwards.
Oh, yeah, to watch something on his big screen.
Yeah, that's a promise, isn't it, Boydie?
I think that's a maybe.
Yeah, that's it. That's a guarantee.
No, you'll be going clubbing in King's Cross with James Dyer. That is the reward. That's
oh,
what's
my God.
Happening. The after party. We have our own
Yes, we have our own. Have Tiffany Haddish there.
I'll see you, Whitehall. I'm doing Jack Whitehall for the after party
well,
on Monday.
See if he'll come to our after
I'll
party.
I'll see if Jack's available.
That's an excellent idea. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So it's all coming together. kingsplace.co.uk/pilot250. Book your tickets now. As I said, it is the most important date in your diary at the moment, except possibly Monday the 17th of July, the day that this podcast goes out, which is when I'll know if I have Taylor Swift tickets or not. Oh. So, you know,
He's been going on about this a lot,
it's,
guys.
You know, it's going to be a big day for me, a big day. Monday.
He sidled up to me and Boyd and was like, do you have any contact? We're we've got Taylor Swift's
you
phone
might.
Number.
Boyd might. He's probably mates with Taylor. Are you? Is Tay-Tay in your phone book?
No.
That's disappointing.
Frankly.
Yeah.
Frankly, it's a no.
No. Well, we'll see. So I'm going to find out on Friday whether I get like a code which enables me to try and get tickets.
Everyone's gripped.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
You've got to keep us posted, though,
I will.
For real.
I will.
You will be very happy if you get those tickets.
Yeah, but also, if I don't get those tickets, I will make you all suffer.
I don't really know why I'm getting into this, but hasn't there already been like people have been notified who have... Because I'll tell you why I know this, because this morning with Derma and Alison this week, they did a whole feature on getting Taylor tickets and the process you have to go to, and they had fans in the studio literally getting the news there and then that they had got past the first stage, the notification stage. So aren't you behind this whole process already?
So if you had pre-sale codes,
right,
you got to get them a week early.
Oh, okay.
So why didn't you have pre-sale? Yeah,
you had to have pre-ordered one of the albums from the Taylor Swift site.
Why didn't you do that?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, no chance, mate. They've all got on there.
I don't know if you deserve these tickets. No. I didn't know that.
Maybe not.
You could have had Boydo's free press tickets, but he gave them away last week.
No, we didn't. That's a lie. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Though, to be fair, like at least one of our listeners has very kindly said, because she got pre-sale tickets, that she would give me her code if they came up in the lottery. So that was lovely of her.
That's really sweet.
So we'll see. Hmm.
Well, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Everyone
fingers
think
crossed.
Of, like we did for, was it Beck's Broken Metatarsal or something with Uri Geller and the Spoon? Let's all think about James getting those tickets, put all our energy into it, and hopefully it'll work out for you.
Yeah. And Taylor, if you're listening, which I know you are because you're a big fan of this podcast, please just send me some tickets. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Thanks. What have we been watching this week? Kay.
So this week I have been watching two things I don't think you're going to be that into, James, but Rob and Romesh Versus. So that's Rob Beckett and Romesh Ranganathan. And they do this show whereby they kind of go to different countries or usually they try different things basically and try and master and usually fail different activities. And in the first episode, they are going to Las Vegas to learn magic from Penn and Teller, a famous magic duo.
Yes, I know who they are.
Oh, what, Rob and Romesh?
Penn and Teller. Because they've been in films and stuff, so...
Okay, fine.
Well, they were on the West Wing.
I didn't know that.
Oh, they're on the West Wing, of course.
So Teller doesn't speak, does he? Did he speak in the West Wing?
No.
No, he never speaks ever.
I mean, come on, it's redonkulous, isn't it?
Is it cuckoo bomb?
It's banana crackers.
No, that's the whole
I don't say shtick, but come on. I mean, when he's trying to teach Rob Beckett magic and he's not able to say words, that is...
Yeah, but you should try that.
Ooh, wow. What do you mean by that?
Okay, I'll start now.
Well, it's now a two-man show, Boydy. What we'll do is it'd be like Lassie. What we'll do is we'll translate what Kay is saying by her facial expressions.
Lassie.
What's that? What's
this
that?
Is getting even worse.
What's that girl? Jimmy's stuck down the well.
You are really digging yourself into a hole of some magnitude today.
Yeah, I'm used to it. I am used to it.
Yeah. Look, she's definitely not speaking.
Do you know what? I could have outlasted him.
Well, I'm not sure if you could that. Yeah.
I would have done. I would have
Battle
just sat here.
And be an interesting podcast to have two people trying out each other and stay silent.
I was more reeling from the fact that I thought he was comparing me to a dog.
Well, there was that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the best of dogs.
Lassie.
Lassie outclasses the littlest hobo.
He's got a good coat on him.
He's got a good coat.
She, I think. Lassie was a girl. I mean, on account of being called Lassie.
I thought you said he.
No, I'm pretty
Lassie,
sure.
Lassie, famously a girl's name.
What?
Yeah, I'm always walking past Lassies in the street. We've got some we work with.
I've been
with.
To Scotland
Lassie,
recently,
Lassie
I take
Lassie Hellstrom,
it.
The famous film director.
Okay, fine. All right, well, so corrected and now I'm a bit embarrassed. But anyway, so I've been watching that. I've also been watching And Just Like That.
Oh, God.
I know. It's sort of a hate watch. Not hate watch, hate's too strong, but like I've said before, it's the nostalgia element that keeps me coming back. Yet every time I watch it, I'm like, what are they doing? Why am I seeing Harry trying to squeeze his sphincter? I mean, that was the genuine...
I'm sorry, what?
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
He's got issues downstairs. He can't produce some of the goods.
I don't think I want to know.
Okay,
this.
I'm just telling you. Well, if I was subjected to it, you're gonna have to listen to it. Anyway, so then Charlotte was teaching him to squeeze his sphincter.
Oh.
Yeah.
And just like that.
Sphincter. and there was a three-way and blah. Not with Charlotte and Harry, with our my favorite character, Che and Miranda.
And who?
Lyle, who is Che's ex, who played by Oliver Hudson, Kate Hudson's brother.
Oh, so it was a dude and the two ladies, the threesome. Oh, how did that go?
Well, no, Che's non-binary.
Che's non-binary, right, okay.
So one lady, one dude, and another person. So, yeah,
Was that excruciating, funny, or...
I wanted both. To peel my skin off.
More than at the previous, the sphincter.
Oh, yeah, the sphincter's fine. I mean, because it's just like... This one, it was just so awkward and... I don't know. The only good thing was that Gloria Steinem made a cameo and that was quite cool.
No.
But yeah. So that's what I've been watching. Rob and Romesh and Just Like That.
Very good.
Okay.
I'm going to annoy you, James, I predict.
You shock me.
Yes.
Yeah. Because one of the things I've watched is a film. But
hang on.
It's on Netflix. And it's like only it was only in cinemas.
I don't think that counts.
It was only in cinemas for a couple of days. But the reason it's really annoying is it really how to tell the difference between a Netflix feature length TV documentary and a film is, you know, it's gossamer thin, the difference between the two. But the only slight, I think this was reviewed on the Empire podcast, so that's actually turns it more into a film because they covered it there, probably because there wasn't much else on that week. I don't know. Anyway, what I'm talking about is the Wham documentary.
Oh, yeah, that's fine,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Kate.
Is it?
Yes, yes, it is. It's fine.
I mean,
yes. Everyone loves Wham. It's fine.
It's a film, but carry on.
It's a
documentary. Is it a good film is the question.
It's a documentary that is currently on television. That's what it is. And this is a television podcast. It is brilliant.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm the last person to make this point, but did you watch it for the Empire podcast?
I did not.
No. Clearly someone, they picked someone who knew something about public culture.
I thought that was wise,
that.
Yes.
To review it. It's just fantastic because it's really about the friendship between George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley.
Mm.
And overriding everything is, you know, how they managed to maintain that friendship right through up until the through beginning, middle and end of Wham itself and beyond into George's solo career. And Andrew Ridgeley is just this incredibly reasonable, smart person who, for him, is much more important that he had that friendship with George Michael than anything else, than, you know, him carrying on the band, you know, making loads more money.
How did they break up?
They just kind of broke up because it became clear that really, it was George who was writing all the songs. George was singing all the songs. You know, it wasn't much point to it, really, yeah, if you like.
And but there wasn't a big fallout.
No, absolutely not. No, they kind of by mutual agreement, they just thought this is a George's thing. That he is the performer. He's the singer. He's the songwriter.
Did you say performer?
Maybe.
Oh, apologies, my God. It's one of my most hated things on X Factor. Do you remember when they say,
well, I'm not, yeah, most people says it on thinks actually the word is performer. That's the difference. I said it. It's a slip,
yeah,
of the tongue.
Yeah, mainly, I mean, I'm trying to think who it was. If it was Simon Cowell. I think it was Louis Walsh. Anyway, go on, Louis.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Thanks. he was the performer. But it's also brilliantly done because you don't see anyone. It's just, it uses archive recordings of George being interviewed and new recordings of Andrew being interviewed. But you don't see them. You just all over great archive footage. And they use notebooks or kind of scrapbooks kept by Andrew's mum all the way through their career from the start onwards. And then you see these wonderful notebooks that form the basis for the narrative of the thing. It's just a brilliant, brilliant piece of TV.
How long
slash
is it?
Film. It's like 90 minutes, an hour and a half.
Yeah, I think that counts. It's fine.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your support for this difficult time. So that's the most memorable thing I watched this week. I also watched through to the end of the available episodes of The After Party. There's 9.
Oh, they haven't made them all available.
No,
that's
the last
unusual
one. Well, I think it's the reveal. I think they've done it. Like Servant, I remember they didn't put the final episode up until quite fairly close to when it was going to arrive. So I've watched all the 9, and the 9th episode is fantastic. That's in the style. You know, all the episodes are in the style of a different genre. That's in a Hitchcockian film style, particularly Vertigo. And it's all about Elizabeth Perkins' character, who is kind of the funniest character in the whole thing. She's the mum. She's the mother.
Mm. Oh, the
mad
snooty
mother.
Yeah, yeah.
Snooty mad mother. Hmm. And how she becomes mad is the kind of theme of the episode. And it's just brilliantly done. And she's fucking hilarious. I think this series is really, really good. It's really fun. And I'm not just saying it because I am hosting the Apple.
Oh, here we go. Here we freaking go. Yeah. Look, you're doing so well then.
Well, you've got to be transparent about these things, okay? I think you're fine. So that's what I've watched.
I too, Boyd, have spent an awful lot of this week on the Apple Screeners portal.
Oh.
I have, because
Foundation.
I have watched every single episode, all 10 hours of the second season of Foundation, and oh my God, I loved it so much. I can't even tell you.
I think you should do a separate podcast on your own talking about it.
Crucially, you're just like one that you're not on,
I mean,
right?
He pretty much has, doesn't he?
I'm sure he's already done that.
He tried to do it on Pilot Plus, and then you know.
Yeah, I feel like I talked about this quite a lot on Pilot Plus, so I'm going to try and keep it relatively brief.
Are you doing a spoiler special with like...
There's a lot going on in Hollywood at the moment, but yes, yeah, there is some early discussions about trying to hopefully get David S. Goyer to come on and do a Foundation spoiler special, but there's a lot to unpack. I actually preferred this to the first season. I really did. I thought it was incredibly watchable. I thought it was glorious. So yes, I enjoyed it a great deal. We reviewed this in full on Pilot Plus. Kayla loved it. Spoiler.
Yeah.
If you weren't able to listen to that.
I was so grumpy.
Yeah, yeah. She was actually almost unprecedentedly grumpy about it.
Yeah, I have to say, I won't go as far to issue James with an apology, but I would say the watching of it, it wasn't the quality of the show. It was great.
Yeah.
It was more James insisting that I watched it knowing how I'd feel about it.
I mean, but as we were saying, it was the show we were reviewing. It wasn't a special punishment for you.
It felt like
I could single you out.
Yes.
See, and I tried to do a nice thing by saying, oh, no, Kate, just watch the first one. Watch the very first episode because you might enjoy that more than just jumping in season two. And that backfired horribly.
Yeah. It was an hour and 10 minutes. That's where it went wrong.
Not for you, it wasn't. You only watched 45.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, a little bit less than.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Scandal.
Yeah. You can never, ever, ever point a finger at me next time I fail to watch something.
James, you failed to watch a show that we were all doing.
That's fair.
Because you just didn't want to watch
it. Something else, though.
I'm glad we're going to this all over again.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. I'll stop.
Anyway, I've been watching Foundation and it has absolutely made my year. So, because obviously Foundation has been available on the Apple site for a while and it took me a while to get to it.
Yeah, you're a bit tardy.
I was quite late getting to it, but oh my God.
Is it better than The Witcher?
It was one of. Is it better? I mean, that's a difficult question to answer. It's certainly more ambitious and more epic and spectacular and lavish and bold and all of these words that you like. Mm.
Coherent?
I mean, it is coherent. Is it accessible? No.
Is it dense?
Oh, no, I know
denser.
That.
It is dense. It is the most dense.
Mm.
It is the hardest of hard sci-fi, and I love it. But yeah, so Foundation is what I have been watching. Well, should we move on to the listener question, which I have in no way, I don't know, not prepared at all.
Well,
yeah,
we haven't heard about this in advance, no.
Well, yes. Well, first of all, I should probably give a big shout out to someone. So Emma, who, if you remember, initially wrote in to complain that I say, and this is absolutely true about 1,000 times in every podcast. And then when I brought it up, she felt guilty. And then and then she baked us brownies and sent them to the office.
I didn't know that's the reason. Like,
yeah.
You said it was someone who had maybe felt bad about something, but I didn't. That was such an innocuous thing she said.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the person who slagged us off in the podcast review.
Yeah. If they send you brownies, they're almost certainly poisoned. But you know, Emma sent us brownies.
Delicious.
Yeah, brownie and a blondie. A brownie and a blondie. Yeah.
They were. I had the macadamia nut one. And honestly, I mean, first of all, they were ginormous. And so, like, that was very much appreciated. But it was really tasty. So
yeah,
thank you very much.
When you shoved a whole one in your mouth in one go. That was unnecessary.
The best thing was they arrived when it was only me in the office.
Yeah, that's true.
So I got first dibs. And I did send a picture to the boys and I said, look, this is what's arrived.
Because the picture is almost as good as the actual brownie.
Yeah, so and then I left them some crumbs and it was fine.
Yeah. So yeah.
What is it you keep saying in the podcast that she complained about?
That I say, this is absolutely true. I say absolutely true a lot. It's your famous, it's my famously.
It's my famously, yeah. Absolutely
But apart from I don't do the little chuckle when I do it.
Oh, a self-chuckle. No, I love a self-chuckle.
No, the self-chuckle is the worst.
I've caught myself doing that a lot, actually, just having a little chuckle to my...
a bit of a self-chuckle.
Lols. Yeah.
Comes from the OG self-chuckler.
Yeah. Absolutely shocking. Not. Absolutely shocking. Right.
Oh,
James. Go on.
We're doing shout-outs.
Yeah, at this neat juncture, we should give a little shout-out to Nick, who stitched us that incredible, extraordinary, you would say, quilt.
Yes, that's true. Nicole Tenbush, who made us a Pilot TV quilt, which we posted on social media. In fact, it was the very first thing I posted on Threads. Was the quilt.
Historic.
A Pilot TV quilt that we had.
An appropriate thread.
Exactly. And there are many threads in the Pilot TV quilt. But someone has quilted us a Pilot TV quilt. I never thought I'd say those
words.
It's
amazing. It's like so intricately done. As a fellow crafter.
Oh, I wonder what you're saying.
A quilter. It was just so, you know, so expertly done, made with love. We really appreciated it. We actually put it across Boyd today, his chair.
Like a cape.
So you might see that on the live show.
And it has like the coloured test signal blocks on the other side as well. Yeah.
It's really cool.
It works on so many levels.
It is really well designed, it has to be said. Yeah.
So thank you, Nicole, for that. Yeah.
Who's actually going to have it?
Well, I think we'll use it on a communal sofa when we watch something together. What about that?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get a communal TV watching sofa in the office. That's what we're going to do.
Can you imagine the arguments over what we're going to watch?
Yeah, Foundation all day, every day. Yeah.
Maybe we'll drape it across ourselves for the live episode.
So instead of having like a table on stage, we'll just have a big bed.
Yeah.
With the quilt on it.
Scatter cushions on the floor. Very relaxed.
Under a quilt.
It'll be like a John Lennon, Yoko Ono style bedding.
Yeah. We're going to recreate that, but with you two.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take the picture.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. I'm happy with that. Anything to get people into the live show.
All the things to look forward to when you come to the live show.
Whilst eating cake.
Yeah, we'll be eating cake. You, I mean, you shouldn't eat cake in bed, but sure, in this occasion we can do that. Eating cake under
quilt. No crumbs on the quilt, though. No spillages.
No quilt crumbs. Okay, right. Shall we have a question type thing? Let me pull one out of the post bag. Michael Velez says, just to share that even though it was a pain in the ass, I was finally able to subscribe to Pilot Plus. There you go. I'm glad you were able to
bring in endorsement of the system.
But he also says, question for the postbag, what are your and the group's thoughts on the fact that there are so many shows like Warrior that are making companion podcasts for their shows? Because this is the thing now, which often happens, where a show will come out and there'll be an official companion podcast.
That's only a good thing. All the fans.
I think so. Like, I really like them. I don't listen to most of them. In fact, I've only listened to a couple of official ones. Oftentimes things like the West Wing Weekly, which are unofficial. And Time That Guy, I guess, is kind of official-ish, given that it's essentially the maker of the show that does it. I think it's great because it takes you under the, you know, under the cover, under the hood, under everything.
Under the quilt of the show,
so you can find out more about what's going on.
Isn't the point he's making, how do we feel that, you know, effectively it's kind of potentially pulling the rug or quilt from
pulling
under
the quilts from under us. They're trespassing on our turf.
They can go fuck themselves. That's my response.
Wow. I mean, you've gone from one extreme to the other. Yeah. It's all fine. And then it's like they can fuck themselves. God, it's a roller coaster.
No, because I thought it was more.
Wow.
I thought it was more about, like, you know, the prolific number of, like, companion podcasts. And I was like, well, that's only a good thing because if you love the show. But he's like,
I'm pretty sure that's
not
what he's alluding to.
Listen, you cannot listen to any of them. You should only come to Pilot Podcast for all your TV needs.
No. There's a middle ground.
No, there's not. Boyd, there's not.
Apparently not.
There is no middle ground.
No. It is interesting that the extent to which they get made, these, and like the BBC doesn't quite a lot. The BBC has their own brand for them, which I've forgotten. So they did
Soundcast. No, it's
no. They did one for Line of Duty, I remember, and like any most of the major dramas. That's not true. They kind of maybe their really really biggest shows they do supporting podcasts for. They did one Inside Number 9. They did a brilliant one for Inside Number 9. Reese Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton together would go into great detail about how they make each episode. But they didn't do one for the most recent series because I think it was a time issue. They just thought, we won't bother doing that. Which didn't make the fact that when I interviewed them, I felt slightly fresher, you know, it was good. I was providing more insights that probably would be provided in their detailed podcasts they do themselves. So it is easy. And when we did like Mark Mylod for our podcast for Succession twice, in fact, he was on the official Succession podcast and I had to stop myself from listening to him on that so I didn't duplicate the questions and just cover the same old ground.
It's a no-brainer to have these pods, right?
Yeah, the Succession ones are really good as well, to be fair.
Well, I listened to the Last of Us ones, all of the official Last of Us podcasts, which were again very good. But, you know, we had Neil Druckmann, we had Craig Mazin, we had Bella Ramsey, we had Pedro Pascal on Pilot Plus.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we'd covered it all already.
Is there a Foundation one? Have you checked?
Do you know what? There probably is a Foundation. Is, yeah. Oh my God, listen to that, actually. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's
my weekend sorted.
Yeah.
I would like to issue an apology for my outburst.
Yeah, it was a bit
I know much. It came out of nowhere, but, you know.
Yeah, That's fine.
Yeah. For anyone sensitive to swearing, I apologise.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, I mean, we used to laugh from your foul-mouthed tyrants. but I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I have no huge pressing issue with them, to be perfectly honest with you. So that is fine. I have a thing here from someone, and it says Swarm. So I think this is directed at you, Boydie, because you bigged up Swarm.
I did.
And this comes from Richard Cassidy. Richard says, is coming all the way from Melbourne, Australia. It said, listen to your rather dismissive and brief comments relating to the Swarm. Boyd made a snobby and spoilerific reference to worms.
I liked it. What are you talking about? I liked it.
Important to the plot. I just avowed all 8 episodes and it is fantastic. Clever story, fresh young cast, beautiful scenery and very good visual effects. Not quite elite sci-fi, but well worth your time.
Hey, I
dig at you there as well.
I have to say, I'm reeling. I liked it. I said I liked it.
I can't remember. I remember the worms comment.
The worms are quite funny, and I felt like that was... I'm sure you were told there were worms quite early on in the whole series, by the way. So again, is it a spoiler? Is it the premise? Always the question. But I genuinely liked it. I totally agree with everything you said. So I didn't... Oh, I must have... That's really bad if I gave the impression I thought I was being snobby about it. Far from it. If anything, you probably misheard James being snobby about it just by the
bar.
I am certain that was not the case. In fact, I think I wrote down must watch the swarm.
Yeah.
Or swarm.
Although the listener has got it wrong, but then you've also deflected onto James.
You know, you've got to deflect
quite the manoeuvre.
You've got to deflect it somehow. I think it is. Has been taken off Sky Sci-Fi, I believe.
Already?
Annoyingly, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is this because they're putting it into they're going to sell the box out?
I assume so. But do you know what? A couple of people pointed out to me, because I said that The Last of Us was coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, which it has, and it's still on Sky, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they didn't do that. So with Barry, they took the most recent season off.
But
they
haven't done it with...
And you can pay for it on iTunes if you want. But The Last of Us, you can pay for it in all kinds of ways. You can still watch it for free if you're a Sky, Q, or whatever, subscriber. So it's a bit complicated, the whole thing, yeah. So never again shall I assume that something's going to come off... the thing.
And you apologise for your overly harsh review of Swarm.
Well, all right.
And your dismissive elitist comment about worms.
Apparently. Super snob boy.
Yeah. I hate worms. Worms are so shit.
That is the absolute full outline of the pod. Yeah. Yeah. Worms
are so shit. He's doubled down on the worms. Well, that was something of a listener question. If you would like your comments or, you know, criticisms of Boyd's reviewing technique read out on either this or on Pilot Plus,
all of us can
feel free to message us via DM on Twitter or Instagram at Pilot TV Pod, or to me directly on Instagram at James C. Dyer. It's time now for news, and I would say, I mean, we covered this on the Empire podcast, but in case you didn't listen to this, we are, as we record this on Thursday, the 13th of July, and SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, is poised to strike, bringing the whole of Hollywood to a standstill. The WGA, the Writers Guild of America, are already on strike, but with the actors on strike as well, everyone basically has to down tools. So this looks like it will come into effect this evening. By the time we go out, I'm sure it will be in full effect, which basically means...
I'm going to start digging into Game of Thrones.
I mean, genuinely, it's going to be rewatches and reality TV. That's all that's going to exist because, no one can do anything. So this is quite a big thing.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
I mean, it will have big ripples for schedules going forward, both on the big and the small screen, because obviously everything will stop production. So depending on how long this lasts, depends on what it will do to the schedules long term. It's quite a thing. Obviously, the issues around this are largely residuals on streaming services, which actors and writers, in fact, don't believe are giving them fair shakes, and frankly, they're right. And also AI and how that will, you know, move forward both from a writing and from an acting point of view. Like if Joan is Awful taught us anything, it's that AI and TV do not mix. Mm. So interesting times, guys.
Mm. What will be interesting is the extent to which it affects British actors.
True, because presumably every British actor who has worked in the US is a member of the Screen Actors Guild.
Well, I don't know about that, because I think they're definitely members of the Actors Union. I think that might be... I'm not sure if you have to join the Screen Actors Guild as well.
I would have thought if you're in America in an American production, you'd need to be... I don't know. Do you know what? I don't know either. I would assume that a lot of them, at the very least, will have Screen Actors Guild membership there.
There's actually union law, British union law, that prevents Equity from having any kind of supporting strike for the American union. So that is forbidden. So Equity, the British actors can't go on strike in support, put it basically. Okay. Well, if they're taking part in an American production anyway, it's going to be...
But then also the lines between a UK and a US production are kind of blurred, right? Like what?
Yeah, they're co-productions.
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact, the head of Channel 4 talks about how some of Channel 4's co-productions with like HBO or Netflix or whatever have had to be stopped anyway because of the writer's strike. So they will be affected. I think any co-production or American production that has British people in it will be affected, but any absolutely British productions won't be affected by it. They'll carry on. So it's not the end of the world for British.
So we're going full ITV from next week onwards. Is what we're saying.
You'll love it. Yeah, yeah.
It's your dream.
It's my dream. Yeah. Reality and ITV.
Exactly. But it's a fact. The other interesting thing is that I don't think they're allowed to do publicity either, are they?
So, no, they're not. Well, today is the day of the Oppenheimer premiere, and they've moved the premiere red carpet forward an hour,
right?
Because the whole strike is being rubber stamped this afternoon.
Yeah.
they've moved it forward so that the stars can do the premiere. Yeah. Because there is a point in the premiere they will have to walk out because insane, the strike will start.
Yeah, it's mad.
Wow.
I mean, that is mad.
It better not affect our interviews for A Murder at the End of the World coming soon. From,
well, frankly,
Britt Marling and Zalmat Manlish. I'll be absolutely furious, Kay. Mm. No, obviously,
but then
I'm in favour of the
strike.
Don't get me wrong.
Concerns.
I'm not going to break the strike.
Well, presumably, they'd have problems already because the writer's strike would mean that as creatives, they really, like doing interviews as writers is tricky already. So the whole thing is quite fraught because certain showrunners that we've have pulled out of interviews because they are writers first and foremost, and that's a WGA or on strike, they don't feel they should be doing, you know, press, rightly so. So yeah, it's just directors. We can only speak to directors basically because the DGA have made a deal. So wow.
It's terrific.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting times. So yeah, we'll see what happens. So I hope you enjoyed that Tiffany Haddish interview. Might be the last one for a while.
On to Tyrion news, please.
On to Tyrion news. Shall we talk about the Emmys and some of the curveballs that came our way in this? Now, I've got a couple of bets about the Emmys. I've got a few. But can we just talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi? I mentioned this on the Empire podcast because I kind of felt I had to. So Obi-Wan Kenobi was shortlisted for, hang on, let me get the exact name of the title, it's Best Limited or Anthology Series, which kind of blows my mind slightly because it wasn't very good. And so I'm a little bit baffled by that because it got some technical nominations I'm totally on board for, but I just felt, why?
Yeah, it's weird, I agree. What is it up against?
It's up against Beef, Dharma, Daisy Jones and the Six, and Fleischman is in Trouble.
Was it a particularly thin year for limited series, I wonder?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah, it feels like it is, maybe. Because it is insane that that has been nominated, it has to be said.
I've got a couple of other bugbears we'll get to. Should we go through these bit category by category and chat about them?
Yeah, I need to say something first, though, that I skimmed through the list of nominations when they came out very quickly, and I was looking to see if she'd been nominated, Kay, for her brilliant role, of course, in Better Call Saul. And I glanced at the Best Actress in a Drama Series, and she wasn't there. So I took to Twitter.
Oh, Lord.
And I was Ray Seahorn in capital letters, !! Ray Seahorn, # Emmys.
Oh, God.
And of course, 1 second later, one of our many, many listeners pointed out that she had been nominated in the Best Supporting Actress category.
But thank God they pointed it out, so it wasn't up there for days and you're looking like a doofus.
Oh, it was never good. These things never, ever good.
Did you then go back and immediately delete the
tweet? Then you had the dilemma. It's the classic dilemma. So because it took about 30 seconds for about 10 people to tell me, some of them in kind of like, not, some of them in a like very, like, yeah, it's ridiculous that she's in Best Supporting Actress anyway.
Oh, well,
because I do think that's true. Yeah. I mean, she's a fucking lead actress in that show.
Nice recovery, Boyd.
Thank you. So then I responded to a couple of those going, yeah, it's ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And then I retweeted myself saying, oh, sorry, she is in, has been nominated, as you were. And then I thought, I've got to delete the original post because people still look at the original one without seeing the next one. So I just fucking deleted it. Anyway, that was my Emmy's hell of the week.
Sorry,
Boyd. Surely takes precedence over anyone, any snubs, any other snubs or anything like the fact that, you know, Harrison Ford didn't get nominated, which was a surprise.
Yeah.
Everyone thought he would.
I mean, there were quite a few surprises here. Should we go through? So best drama
let's
series.
Let's go through all 87 categories.
Well, okay, we'll skip some of them because there really are a lot. But best drama series Andor, yes. Better Call Saul, again, yes. The Crown, House of the Dragon, The Last of Us, woo! Succession,
yes.
The White Lotus.
Absolutely.
Yellow Jackets.
No fucking way. What is that?
I mean.
That's crazy.
Is that season one or season two?
This is what I was trying to work out.
Season one.
Do you think they meant season one? Because season one is, all right, fine.
One was okay. Yeah. Season one was good.
Yeah, it was good. Season two was...
Went off the boil.
Yeah.
I think it might actually be season two.
Right, then it can get off that list.
That's fucking banana crackers,
yes,
that is.
Thank you, James. I was thinking
that's
it, you
cuckoo
said
bomb
it.
All the way.
Exactly.
I'm
off the list, Yellow Jackets.
Absolutely not.
You do not belong.
All right, while we're on the subject of drama series, best actor in a drama series, Jeff Bridges, The Old Man. Yes. Brian Cox, Succession. Mm. Kieran Culkin, Succession. Jeremy Strong, Succession. Bob Odenkirk, hooray, Better Call Saul, and the daddy himself, Pedro Pascal, The Last of Us.
I'm backing Kieran.
Strong category.
What
really?
About you?
Yeah. Bold.
I know, because Brian obviously ledge, but I just think his performance in that last series was incredible.
I feel like it's got to be Bob Odenkirk.
Bobbo.
It's got to be Bobbo.
I don't know, you know. Someone's message said to me, oh, you know, is it ridiculous that Brian Cox is nominated? because he's not in it much.
That's not an unfair point.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I keep getting people complaining about that particular spoiler, by the way.
So you doubled down.
I doubled down. So, you know, it might be him because he's such a, people love him in that role. It's such a, you know, I don't know. That's a wide open category for Phil Wilson.
Yeah. Best actress in a drama series, Sharon Horgan, Bad Sisters.
Yes.
Melanie Lynskey, Yellow Jackets. Elizabeth Moss, Handmaid's Tale. Bella Ramsey, Last of Us. Kerry Russell, The Diplomat. And Sarah Snook for Succession.
Ooh. Yeah, Kerry Russell's fun. Good to see her in there.
Tough category, actually.
Yeah. There's more Succession goodness in supporting actor, obviously. Nicholas Braun is in there. Alan Ruck is in there as well. Alexander Skarsgård also in there too.
And Matthew.
Matthew all of them. It's basically everyone. Everyone. And anyone who isn't in Succession, genuinely, this is absolutely true. In Best Supporting Actor, the only people not in Succession are in the White Lotus.
Mm.
It is just two shows.
Yeah,
it's F. Murray Abraham, Michael Imperioli. Who else is in there? Theo James is in there. Will Sharp is in there. So it's just a two-horse race.
I feel like this belongs to Matthew. I think he's going to get it.
It should do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Best Supporting Actress is almost a White Lotus as well. Jennifer Coolidge, Megan Faye. Who else is in there? Sabrina Impacciatore.
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza, yes, of course. Simona Tabasco. A lot of people in there as well. And J. Cameron Smith, obviously from Succession, in there too. And some Crown stuff. And Ray Seahorn, lest we forget. Who was, in fact, nominated for an Emmy?
Yes.
Boyd Hilton.
FYI, she was nominated, yeah.
All right. Are you ready for my new? I've got beef. I've got more beef.
Come on.
And my beef. Beef?
My beef is with the original beef of Chicago Town.
Ooh,
because
okay.
The Bear is nominated for Best Comedy Series. And call me unconventional. I don't think it's a comedy.
Call you unconventional.
Call me unconventional.
I am
unconventional. Yeah. I don't know where that word came from. Call me, I don't know.
And even unconventional.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right word.
I don't know what word I'm saying.
Controversial.
Yeah, yes, that's the word I'm looking for.
Keep this in.
Call me controversial.
Yeah, this is definitely staying
I'm staying in. Keep it in. I don't care. Call me controversial. I'm controversial.
Yeah.
But The Bear's not a fucking comedy.
Well,
I agree actually with James.
It's a drama. It's an incredibly stressful drama that is also funny.
There are moments of funny, but I don't classify this as a comedy.
Yeah.
It's a big question.
It's not.
It's not, Boyd. It's not.
Well, I mean, they fucking entered it as
this
a comedy.
This is strategic bullshit, isn't it? When The Martian, and we talked about this on Empire, you remember The Martian went up for Best Musical or Comedy for the Golden Globes?
Yes.
And you're like, what the fuck? There was neither singing nor a lot of jokes in it.
There was a running joke about him listening to music or something, wasn't there? Anyway.
Yeah.
I can see why. I'm going to slightly defend The Bear, people for putting it in the comedy category. It's a half-hour show. Sometimes episodes aren't even a half hour. They're like 25 minutes.
Mm.
And it's kind of, I think you're meant to find the general what's going on thing funny. Like, it is a funny thing.
Is it more or less funny than The White Lotus, which is in drama?
About the same, probably, yeah. But running time, I know it shouldn't have an effect on these things, but it does. Like, because The White Lotus is an hour-long show, it just feels
different.
I mean,
the reality of this is, surely, that they took a look at it and thought, with The White Lotus and Succession there,
we are fucked. I'm not denying that.
So they've just said, let's go for comedy because the field is more open.
Is it nominated in any other categories?
Maybe, yeah. It's got loads of nominations.
Okay. No, but they didn't put it in for drama.
Right.
You pick one. Like, so they put it in for comedy.
Pick one, yeah.
So it's up there. So it's The Bear, Barry, Abbott Elementary, Jury Duty, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Only Murders in the Building, Ted Lasso, and Wednesday.
It's a strong category.
Jury Duty. I suppose it is technically scripted.
It is, yes. I mean, that's
but that feels weird to me.
And it's all like them confusing the.
Because it's kind of a reality show with a scripted backbone.
Yeah, I don't think that belongs in comedy series.
It's a hybrid. Well, if you see it, you'll see why. I think it's fine.
How many times did you laugh?
Quite a few. Well, you know, I don't laugh anyway. I never laugh out loud.
Inside.
Inwardly, I laughed a lot. No. Inwardly, dead inside.
All right. Best actress in a comedy series: Christina Applegate, Dead to Me; Rachel Brosnahan, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel; Quinta Brunson, Abbott Elementary; Natasha Lyonne for Poker Face; and Jenna Ortega for Wednesday.
I'm happy Quinta's on there because, as you know, I'm a big fan of Abbott Elementary. So,
best actor in a comedy series: Bill Hader for Barry. Although it's questionable whether Barry's still a comedy by the end.
Well, that's the same for loads of these things.
Barry and Ted Lasso, I'll let them off. I'll let them off. They're fine. Martin Short, Only Murders
in
the Building.
Everyone, James has let you off.
Jason Segel for Shrinking. Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso. Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Again, not a comedy. Evan Moss Bachrach is also in for Best Supporting Actor for a comedy series as well. So, Ayo Edebiri for Best Supporting Actress. So, you know, they're all wrong, but well-deserved, but also wrong at the same time. Best limited or anthology series we've kind of covered. We probably don't want to go through all of the rest of these, including the various writing and whatnot things, but you can
let's
find
go
them.
The craft categories. You know,
craft services categories. Best spring rolls goes to the bear.
I'd be interested in that. You know, I like Snapchat.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, go on then, Boydy. Which one would you like to do as well?
Oh, no. What I was going to say was that the stats on who got the most nominations are interesting as well.
Because
that's what you haven't said. The big headline is that Succession has got 27.
Yes.
An extraordinary 27.
But then didn't The Last of Us come very close to that?
Second was The Last of Us, correct, with 24. Tied jointly with?
White Lotus.
Yes. White Lotus. Ted Lasso, fourth, 21. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, fifth. I mean, that shows you that I keep saying this. Mm. I'm going to have to go back and watch.
Well, now they're on strike. Might as well start rewatching.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a steady stream of finished shows.
I know, but we've got to hunker down. We've got to get ready.
All right. I'll hunker down with Mrs.
Hunker
Maisel.
Down. Okay, I'll send over Foundation episodes for sure.
Yeah.
I might do Game of Thrones for real.
Then The Bear, then Beef. It's funny that Beef and the Bear, because of course the restaurant in The Bear is known as The Beef.
We'll get onto this a little bit later, but yes, absolutely.
Dharma, hyphen monster, colon, the Jeffrey Dahmer story.
Yeah.
The most ridiculously titled program in the history of television. Got the same amount of nominations as The Bear and Beef. Then Wednesday, Barry, Only Murders in the Building. So yeah.
HBO is the overall winner, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. Yes, so HBO.
They've got nothing to complain about. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got 127 nominations.
Would you mention that Poker Face did not get nominated for Best Drama or Best Comedy? Steve Martin didn't get an Only Murders in the Building nomination, which people thought that he probably would as well. What else was a surprise in there? I don't think people expected Daisy Jones and the Six to turn up there, so that was a surprise.
Yeah, that's pretty well.
Surprising.
But, and also, Fleischmann, the Crown got six nominations, which I think, again, is less than it would normally get. So that maybe felt like a little bit of a surprise. Harrison Ford, as you mentioned, didn't get anything. In fact, I would say generally, like, you know, the Taylor Sheridan may essentially own television at the moment, but Yellowstone and 1923 were...
People have accused them of snobbery.
Yeah, a little bit of snobbery.
The Academy.
But it can't be that snobby if they fucking nominated Obi-Wan Kenobi, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I like this stat, though. Guess which show got the same number of nominations as Better Call Saul, which is 7 in total. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Really?
Yes. Both.
Take that, James.
Yeah.
So, shove that in your pipe.
Really, Better Call Saul is one of the greatest TV shows of all time, and apparently so is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, you know what didn't get nominated? The Traitors.
No, but I think...
I wonder if it was, eligible.
Well, people seem to be surprised that it wasn't.
I tell you what also didn't get nominated.
No, they're talking about US Traitors,
Yeah, US Traitors.
UK Traitors, obviously.
Oh, no, UK wouldn't be. But Stranger Things only got 6. People were up in arms about that. Welcome to Wrexham, same number of nominations. The
Stanley Tucci nominated for Searching for Italy, outstanding hosted non-fiction series or special. Very happy about that.
Catchy title, that.
Can you imagine it being printed on the thing? Takes up most of space.
Well, that's quite enough. I think we've been through the Emmys in some detail. Now, the question, of course, is when the Emmys will happen. Because of all the strikes, they're thinking of pushing it way back to the end of the year. It was going to be in September. Mm. That's now talking December or beyond. So Christ knows it will even happen this year. So we may be a while before we find out who actually won these things. So, yeah.
Well, we can all start working through the list of anything we haven't watched.
We can
be ready.
I swear to God, like, if you are going to start watching Game of Thrones, you're going to have to do it for the podcast, and you're going to have to do it week by week, and we're going to have to break it out on Pilot Plus. It's going to have to become a feature. So, you know.
Okay, well, I'll think about that.
Game of Thrones, as has been suggested.
I also want to continue. I wanted us to do The Bear.
We're still doing Hijack.
Wow. We are doing Hijack. Do you know what? I'm gonna jump in right now and do a big old plug for Pilot Plus, which you subscribe to right now.
Yeah.
Go to empireonline.com/PilotTV. I think that's the URL. Anyway, you can find it.
Oh my God. Stop doing these proclamations and only half knowing the facts. Like, buy a ticket for this thing, it costs maybe £14. Come subscribe at maybe I don't know.com.
I never said I had all the information, but for more gold like this, do subscribe to Pilot TV Plus. We would very much like to have you on there if, you know, only to keep us all in work. We are currently doing weekly discussions of Apple's Hijack, which is very, very exciting. And we'll be doing.
I'm loving these spoiler specials at the moment.
There you go.
Yeah, it's
great.
I really do enjoy it.
We do fascinating, brilliant, you know, anthropological things like making K Watch Foundation, which I think is valuable to everyone and society.
That's a hate crime.
That's great. Right. Any other news? What else happened in news? I mean, those two things are pretty big things, but I'm sure something else happened at some point, somewhere.
Big news in the Agatha Christie world. Murder is Easy has been announced as the next major adaptation of one of Agatha Christie's novels. It's been made by Mammoth Screen. The names that have been mentioned are David Johnson, Sinead Matthews, Penelope Wilton, Tom Riley, Mark Bonner, who else we got? Tamsin Althwaite, John Poynting, who we love from Big Boys and Plebs. And yeah. Loads of amazing people. So I particularly, as you know, a massive AC fan, is excited for that. Oh, some documentary news. Actually, someone tweeted us and said about us doing more documentaries or talking about documentaries more. So in doco news, we've got The Supermodels is set to premiere on Apple TV Plus on the 20th September, and it will feature exclusive access to iconic supermodels Naomi Campbell, Cindy Crawford, Linda Evangelista, and Christy Turlington. Am I right? Did you interview Naomi Campbell? Was that Lucy? Someone interviewed her, I think, for Heat.
We did interview her. It wasn't me. I remember going to an event for that. It was the TV show she was plugging, which where she, it was like a
was
kind
it called
of fashion.
The Swan? No.
Yeah, something like that, maybe. I remember she had I had dinner, effectively, like, she was on my table.
Oh, my God, lucky you. I had dinner with Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell, but I didn't do the interview. I don't think, anyway. I completely forgot.
What did you have for dinner?
Good question, James.
I mean, this is like 15 years ago, so.
I think salmon.
I can't remember. It was nice. It was probably, maybe it was salmon or chicken. Mm. Quite likely to be chicken.
Did you make her, blondies?
I didn't make her blondies, no. I don't know.
No fucking shot there.
Sadly. But I'm excited about that documentary series. It's a good idea, Supermodels, yeah. I think they all appeared in, talking of George Michael and his Freedom video as well.
Yeah, they did.
Directed by David Fincher.
Ah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Famously.
Famously.
And the laugh.
Another documentary, Stephen Curry, Underrated, will launch on 21st of July, also I think on Apple TV Plus. And I didn't know, actually, I'm going to admit, I didn't know who Stephen Curry was. But apparently he is one of the most influential, dynamic and unexpected players in the history of basketball. And I actually like some b-ball myself, so I will be watching that.
We don't like it that much, otherwise you heard of it.
I know, I don't follow avidly. I'm constantly looking to educate myself about the sport, boys.
Is that a series or a one-off documentary? Do you know?
I don't know.
I was about to say, I think it's... Yeah. I have no clue.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm weighing in on this.
What,
I don't have any clue at all.
No, but if it's a series, then maybe, you know, Ian, we should do more documentary reviews. Maybe we'll have to...
Please, boy, please can we do a basketball documentary? It may come to that. You're absolutely right. It may
don't
come to that.
Such, why are you being a knob about it?
We're definitely going to do series two of Welcome to Wrexham, by the way.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Did we do series one of Welcome to Wrexham?
I don't think we did.
I talked about it because I refused to be shackled by your, you know, snobbish... dictator laws.
Putting the dick in dictator, right?
Yeah. Mm. We're getting a t-shirt for that for the live show for you. Yeah. And you will wear it as penance for me having to watch Foundation.
Fair enough. So while we're talking about shows that I love, The Boys spin-off, Gen V, has got a kind of window for release. That's coming to Prime Video in September. Mm. So I'm pretty psyched about that. Will there be exploding penises in the first episode?
Oh,
we can but hope. Have you ever watched The Boys, Kay?
No.
It's a lot, is what I'm going to say. It's a lot.
In what way?
Well, wait, the exploding penis.
The exploding penis in the first episode of the most
that
recent
season.
That
seems like an episode of Just Like That.
Giant penis.
You heard me talk about Harry and his sphincter.
Actually, there's a lot of sphincter, yeah.
They built they built an actual giant prosthetic penis for the first episode of season three.
What's the name of that thing? Is it the urethra? Is that the thing?
Yeah. Urethra, and it goes into the ureter. Yeah.
It was urethra-based horror.
Yeah, it was.
If they built that, they should, when they have a launch, they should have that as a figure piece.
I think they might have done.
That would be cool.
I remember seeing a picture of it, of the big thing they built. Yeah.
It was
all
upsetting.
The kids will get, you know, pictures
upsetting.
With the gram,
It was upsetting.
Is that all news?
I was just going to quit. You know, I like a Netflix ratings list. You'll like this because they've just unleashed their top tens for the week of the 3rd of July, and The Witcher straight in at number one with 13,800,000 views, apparently.
And that's just me.
Yeah, mainly from James. But guess what number two is? So The Witcher's number one.
Oh my gosh, please say it's False Profile.
Oh, no, that is in there. That's of course, yeah.
That's the Spanish...
Fake profile. Eight, yeah. That's
don't even know the name.
Yeah.
No, because in Spanish it's falsa, so I was like...
Is it falsa profile?
No, profile, yeah.
That's my stage name.
Very good.
Yeah, where is it on the list?
That's number 8 on the global, on the non-English list. But number 2 in the list is The Lincoln Lawyer, season 2.
Is it? Yeah,
so it just shows you.
I see, The Lincoln Lawyer, which was such an astonishingly 3-star show. Like, yes. It was fine. It was nothing wrong with it.
Totally
it was just
fine.
Like, meh.
Sometimes fine is what people want.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a gourmet ham. That's just a burger.
No,
it's just a burger.
I'm telling you, people, when they just want to relax, they want to know, you know, just to watch something that's easy to watch, fine is more than fine.
Just watch The Diplomat again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to do that.
Yeah.
And my favourite thing, though, is at number 4, it is, talking of easy viewing, Is It Cake? Is It Cake 2? Which is, as everyone knows, one of the greatest TV shows. You mean, I picked Cake, you've got to read Cake more closely, which is what we both work for, because I picked it in my top 3 recently. Is It Cake? As James
How many
knows,
stars did you give the preview, buddy?
We don't give star ratings in the top. If it's in the top 3, it just indicates.
Is it Is it automatically a 5-star preview?
Pretty much. Right, 4 or 5. Four or 5. Yeah. Is It Cake? Is the astonishing show. You must have seen it.
I think
they
so.
Talked about it on Celebrity Gogglebox on
I'm
Friday.
I'm astonished that Kay isn't an avid viewer of this. It's right up our alley.
I know. We could make change the rules.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's the next level thing. It's not just we're not just going to make cake. It's going to be is it cake on stage of a live show.
Yeah. Oh no.
Unfortunately, Boydie, the answer to all 3 would just be no.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
True.
Yeah. The answer would be this isn't even edible.
Anyway, they are cakes which are absolute photographically lifelike objects, and you have to, and they unveil a set, if you like. It might be your living room.
I do know the show.
Some of the items in it are cake.
Yeah.
And it's astonishing how brilliant.
So if we did this podcast and then Boydie was unusually quiet and then I cut into him and he was red velvet.
Oh
and
my
it was
God,
like, is he cake?
Be...
Yes, he's cake.
Yeah.
Please someone make a cake version of Boyd's head.
No.
Come on.
We don't need that.
Do you know what, actually, when films or big TV shows are released, often we used to get, PRs used to send in, do you remember the lifelike cakes we had where it was like really bloody skulls and stuff like that?
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah, stuff like that.
There's a real
it takes that to a new whole new world. Yeah, these are like extraordinary.
So if someone could do Boyd's face, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah. So is it cake? Is it number 4 in the Netflix chart? That's my news for the day.
Okay.
You're not going to find any news more interesting than that.
No, I think that signifies
I am telling you
the end of news.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. Let's move on to this week's reviews, and let's begin with The Bear, because The Bear is back, admittedly a few weeks after the US, but at least we're doing better than season 1, and this sees the return of Carmy and the gang, not in the original Beef of Chicagoland, but finally in their all-new restaurant endeavour, The Bear. Yes, because it only took until the final episode of season 1 to probably get a grip on the show's title. Who better to review The Bear than our very own Maiden Fair? It's not Boyd, it's Kay.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the obvious joke.
Oh, and just say, it's Boyd Hilton.
No, but Kay Ribeiro.
Do you know what?
Let yourself down.
That sailed right past me.
You've let yourself down.
Kay Ribeiro.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Well done.
That's good. Right, let's pretend I didn't do it. Right, let's pretend it. No, right, I'm going to do it again as if I know it. Right, ready? Everyone pretend. Be surprised. Pretend. It's Kay Ribeiro.
Do your fake chuckle.
Good gag. There you go. See, brilliant.
It's like that script.
It's like I got it first time. Fabulous.
Yes. So this second season, as James mentioned, is about the guys sort of like demolishing the original restaurant and making the new restaurant, The Bear, and working out how the hell they're going to pay for it. At the end, do we talk about the last season? Is it spoilery?
They came into money.
They were really struggling. They were like working incredibly hard. Like, basically, if you haven't seen the show, it's full of stressful scenes set in a kitchen.
Yeah, it's not a fucking comedy.
No.
But yeah.
it's funny elements, not a comedy. And it's about how stressful it is trying to maintain and keep open this restaurant that belonged to Carmy's brother who passed away. And at the end of the season, they came in some money and he decided he wanted just to completely renovate the restaurant and open up The Bear in its place. And as this season opens, it's about them trying to work out the logistics of that and how much it's actually going to cost. Because even though they've come into money, is it enough for all the things that need to be done? Because this is quite an old restaurant. There's lots of like permits and planning permissions and regulations and all this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, that's where we find them. Carmy, Sydney, Richie, and all of the gang are there. And I can't really remember the beginning of the first series, so maybe they did this as well. But I feel like it's got just a different vibe to it in terms of when it began, when this episode began. It had this like sort of musical intro, which felt very like, this is not
British
quite right.
Which ones have been in the range, you mean?
Yeah, and it felt a bit like cheer. You know when it starts off with all the music, it's kind of like nostalgic and, you know, they're it's like an homage to Chicago, and it just felt really like almost not schmaltzy, but you know, it's very like, oh, heartwarming and sweet. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe this is taking a different vibe. But then when it goes into the kitchen, you know, once again, it's the bear you know and love, the beef you know and love. No, what?
The bear we know and love.
Yeah.
The beef is dead, long live the bear.
The beef is gone.
Yeah.
But I just, do you know what? I just love these characters so much because they're so textured and flawed and relatable in ways. And I enjoy the chemistry between Carmi and Sydney, but also Sydney and Richie. They've just got this dynamic, and I can't work out, you know, if anything's going to develop between any of them, which I also like in a very basic way. Yeah, I hope not too.
Yeah,
but I like a suggestion of it, and I think the suggestion is between Sydney and Richie, because they have a very they have a very explosive relationship in the first series, like really intense. Like they hate each other, but. You know, hate and love, very close to the spectrum.
You think it's a Sam and Diane situation?
Possibly. Who knows?
Interesting.
But there are no weak characters. So even the minor players or the less, you know, major players, they're just as important and they are as well developed. So, you know, you really care about them. Marcus in the first episode, his mum is unwell. You care about what happens to her. And Tina, who I really like, and good stuff happens with her. So, yeah.
Yes, Jeff.
I am very happy that this show is back.
Also, this first episode of this second season, the restaurant isn't even open and it's still incredibly stressful.
Yeah, right?
Oh yeah, but it's even more stressful because they've got a limited time. They've got a couple of months
to get it running.
In theory, 5-star Cordon Bleu eatery up and running and completely transform the frankly bit of a shithole that the...
delicious food though.
Yeah, delicious shithole.
They discovered quite how dirty and tawdry the whole place is in the course of the first few episodes of the series. Yeah. Oh, it's super stressful. This is just, I think they've really stepped up series. I mean, series one was brilliant.
Yeah.
Series one was one of the great kind of joys, surprise treats of last year. But series two is better, I think.
I agree.
And I think it's already like, I've now watched the first 6 episodes.
Yeah.
I watched the first
four. You need to like, you know, not binge it.
No, what? It's all going out in one go. So this is interesting. Fans of me complaining about review embargoes, right? So they sent us the first 4 episodes initially. So it's all going out on Wednesday on Disney Plus.
Send us the first 4?
Yeah, well, they said most of us the first 4, and it's all been on in America already on Hulu. And I said, someone corrected me. I said, you know, it went out weekly, but they waited to put it out here. And I go, no, it went out all in one go in America as well. So you can binge on it, should you, and it is incredibly addictive, which is why. So I literally went through the first 4 like that, and episode 4 is that one I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I talked about how I've been watching this, spending a lot of time watching this.
Oh, with a cameo.
As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Will Poulter is in it. I think I really spoiled that bit anyway in that episode.
You did.
Fine. Do we have any complaints? Maybe. There's an amazing array of incredible guest stars in this series. And because you can complain whether or not it's a spoiler or not, so I won't mention them because I don't want to get any more complaints and James is all stressed out.
But
I'm getting beaten up with passive aggression now.
More stressful to you, watching The Bear or dealing with the complaints about Boyd's spoilers and any complaints about me?
Definitely the latter.
Yeah, completely. So I watched the first 4. Then they sent us the rest of the series. But we can only talk about the first 4 in theory, in any detail, including all the stuff I just said that James said is a spoiler. and not the rest of the series, even though it's all going out in one go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's
weird. We've been told officially.
It's weird. So I don't get... I mean, apart from the fact that, as I've said before, the reason for review embargoes is to get more focus and publicity for a show, get more attention for a show. But it's a bit weird when you're putting a whole series out in one go to divide it up into two different...
I also kind of feel like once a show has aired... anywhere
in America,
like you can't embargo
I had that as well.
I feel like it's out there.
Got onto that bit. So it's a double embargo situation of one series landing in one go that's already been
very stressed about
in America.
This.
And I know it's indulgent and all that, and it's brilliant. I've got to watch. We get to watch them in advance, but it's just a weird embargo situation. Anyway, the only thing I am going to say, so I won't spoil anything else, but suffice to say, I loved episode 4 because it's such a like soulful thing with that, what happens to the character, who is a brilliant. By the way, Sydney as well. I think Sydney
she's fantastic.
Is one of the most brilliantly honed characters on TV because she's kind of calm, she totally underplays it, and even though like he is quite capable Carmi of treating her not like shit but just being a chef but also being a bit like selfish and self-absorbed, you know, when she needs, she's basically co-running this thing with him now, she's like co-managing the restaurant now with him and the whole project if you like, of turning it into this swanky restaurant, and he kind of treats her like, you know, like a kind of given if you like, and the way she deals with it, there's no drama. She just kind of
she's very measured.
A lot of sighing, a lot of slightly passe looks on her face, but she's so brilliant and calm about it. It's fantastic.
Which is why she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress in a comedy series.
Quite bloody rightly.
Look, we're just happy she got a nom. We don't care which category.
That is true.
But what I was going to say is, all I'll say is, listeners, is episode 6 is a fucking game changer.
I have heard this. People in America have already written in to big up that particular one.
That's why I'd heard about this as well. In fact, you mentioned Brett Easton Ellis, a long time listeners know, a big fan of Brett Easton Ellis' podcast, and he talks about how this is the best thing on TV at the moment, The Bear. The Beef. And he mentioned episode 6, and it is astonishing. And it's a big guest star. I'm not even going to mention that, even though it's all been out there. It's all been shown on American TV. It's just a whole different ball game. It's unbelievable.
There's a lot to look forward to with this series.
Yes. So, and we're going to be doing a Bear special.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Bear part of TV special sponsored by Disney Plus. We should qualify.
Not
that.
Invited to take part.
You're not invited.
And what's the one thing? Oh, the music. I think it's incredible. Brayson Ness read out a list of every single song that's in series 2 on his podcast. So I won't do that because if you want to know what song, go to the Brayson Ness podcast.
You'll make a great playlist.
But just suffice to say, from that opening Bruce Hornsby montage of Chicago, which you talked about, I talked about, to there's just like Radiohead, REM, Elvis Costello, Squeeze.
It's just cool.
Fantastic. I mean, it's particularly my dad rockish era. If you like what 80s/early 90s music, it's brilliant. It's brilliantly well shot. That fourth episode, I will stop banging on about it in a minute, but I wanted to mention that Remy Youssef, who has his own show, he's the Egyptian American guy who has that rather excellent series. He directed the fourth episode, the Copenhagen one. I'm allowed to say Copenhagen, too late, I've said it. And so it's just fantastic. Yeah, and I think it's so good that, do you remember we talked about, when did Barry, I think, one special? Were you on that one?
Yes.
Yes. we talked about how, you know, what's going to take the place. You know, Barry's gone, Succession's gone, Ted Lasso's gone. Obviously, there'll be a spin-off, I'm sure. This is the show.
But if it all drops in 1 week, it doesn't feel like it takes the place in quite the same way.
Oh, but I mean, there's loads of classic Netflix. Well, some classic Netflix shows that dropped in one.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but I think when you like those shows were very much like it was the water cooler type shows. Everyone was talking about it week by week as they kind of built.
Yeah, okay.
This is obviously just one glorious weekend.
I'm talking
of
pure quality. I think this is easily as good as Barry.
It's extraordinary.
Extraordinarily as good as Barry.
And famously as good as Barry.
Yeah. Famously. Without the chuckle, as good as Barry. Yeah, there you go.
The Bear, then, which comes to Disney Plus. When does it come, boys?
Wednesday. All in one go.
All in one go on Wednesday.
10 episodes.
Okay, next this week we have The Sixth Commandment, the latest true crime series from longtime friend of the pod and telewriting legend Sarah Phelps, and charts the murders of Peter Farker and Anne Moore Martin in Buckinghamshire in 2014 and 2017, respectively. Boyd. Thou shalt review The Sixth Commandment.
Very good. A little chuckle at the end. Let's stop laughing, though, because this is a very serious...
Yes.
Definitely not a comedy. The last one wasn't a comedy, but this is
nominated in the comedy category.
Although, you know, frankly, with the image, you never know.
Steady. This is... it's a, in quotes, true crime drama. Yep. That is the genre that you'd roughly put it in. But it's much, much more to it than that. It's an exceptional example of what true crime drama at its very, very best can do. And the important thing, tells the story of, as you mentioned, the deaths of Peter Farker and Amal Martin in 2014, 2017, and the subsequent police investigation and trial of this guy called Ben Field, who was in theory like this Christian would-be priest, studying for the priesthood, a student briefly of Peter Farker. But he was actually this incredibly manipulative, horrendously awful human being who would wheedle his way into the lives of these older people, starting with Peter Farquhar, who was this much loved, much admired school teacher who you first meet in it kind of when he's retiring and they're all kind of launching their tributes to him. This guy, Ben Field, kind of preys upon the fact that Peter Farquhar was a very committed Christian and he was also gay. And he found it very difficult to deal with the fact that he was attracted to men and whilst being a Christian at the same time. There's one scene in episode one where he talks about all this with his friend, almost like a kind of psychiatric session in which he kind of talks about his feelings of loneliness. Now he can't come to terms with his sexuality because of his Christian beliefs. And Benfield preyed on that and basically pretended to fall in love with him. Peter Farquhar did fall in love with Ben. And, you know, they actually kind of had a kind of ceremony, almost like a kind of wedding ceremony, if you like. He wheedled his way into his life. And of course, he ended up got him to change his will. So he inherited his house and money, etc. And then he moved on. So most of episode one is dealt with that story. Then episode two begins really with a focus on Almore Martin, who is a neighbour of Peter Farquhar's in the same village. And he did pretty much, this Benfield character did the same thing to her. Widowed his way into life, pretended to fall in love with her. She fell in love with him. So it's this extraordinary manipulative gaslighting and exploitation of the vulnerabilities of these older people. And what Sarah Phelps does absolutely brilliantly is foregrounds these people, these victims. She doesn't flinch from showing the horrendous things that this guy Benfield did to them, but she does it in such a way, she treads that very fine line between it being about a kind of psychopathic killer but not glamorizing him in any way. She's showing what he was like, what he did, but absolutely honoring these real people whose lives were devastated by him, who he destroyed their lives and their relatives' lives as well. And so it's kind of like you do find out exactly what you need to know about the killer, but you absolutely get completely attached to these people, these victims, particularly Peter Farquhar and Almore Martin and their families. And they kind of, she honors them in such a brilliant way. Like you get to see how loved and admired Peter Farquhar was. And fun, I went to the screening, so I did go to the screening of this. I didn't host it, but I went to the screening and there were some of his old pupils there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was so moving because they spoke out in the Q&A saying, yeah, he was an incredible person, incredible human being. He was a brilliant, inspiring teacher. And you see some of that. You see him teaching a class of students and it's fantastic. I would say it's one of those things where if you don't know, there's a brilliant documentary actually about this case that they repeated a while ago, I think on BBC, probably on iPlayer. But it is one of those things where even though it's telling a true story in a brilliantly measured, unsensational way, it is also terrifying and horrible. And it's really tough to watch at some places. I found it so moving and so difficult to see what happened to these people and what he did to those human beings. But I think it's really important to watch it if you can, because it really celebrates these people in such a brilliant way. And if you don't know the story, it's probably, you know, the less you know in a way, the more fascinating it is. Because as you watch the police, I was watching episode three this morning, as you watch those episodes go by, you also see more back into those victims and almost reminding you of other things about them, about their lives. You don't necessarily find out in the first two episodes. Long story short, it's absolutely brilliant. She's done a fantastic job, Sarah Phelps. She's a friend of the podcast, so
full disclaimer.
We're biased. Yeah. Full disclaimer. But it's just like, this is how you should do it. If, you know, this is what I think. Sometimes you could argue about, you know, the morality of true crime as a genre. Sometimes it can be exploited. I think sometimes I thought the Dharma series that's got lots of Emmy nominations, I found that a bit difficult to deal with. But this is just an object lesson on how to do it.
It feels very victim focused, though, doesn't it?
I think that's
the gift here. Like, you really, as you say, you get so attached to Peter Farquhar. And, well, I've only seen the first episode. It's a four-part, right? It's a four-part limited series. But you get Timothy Spall is fantastic.
Oh, he's brilliant.
But the way he paints his character, like the vulnerability and the conflict and the self-loathing that he has and the fact that he instead of like looking at porn on the internet, he's looking at essentially like the Blacks
catalog
website.
Yeah.
Like it's like an outdoor clothing company thing where it's just that man, while wearing outdoor clothes, has quite nice calves. Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, even that is so chaste, because he's like, he's very moral and he's very sort of like, he finds
dignified.
It very difficult. Very dignified. Yeah. And so I thought it wasn't heavy-handed at all. It's very, very subtle, the character work in this. It's it
the
really
detail.
Is
you're right. Yeah, it's the detail. That detail was brilliant. And like, just like his single bed, sleeps in a single bed. always and like, you see him brushing his teeth. We had that brushing teeth issue that someone brought up a while ago. There's a lot of teeth brushes just because his daily kind of process, his routine, his meticulousness mm-hmm. about himself, all of that just contributes to the whole characterization brilliantly.
I really enjoyed this, which seems wrong to say, I know, but it's like everything that you said, I just think it was so sensitively handled and a beautiful portrayal of the victims. It didn't feel salacious or grubby like some of these true crime dramas can, you know, because you feel like you're just kind of like trauma porn in some way. But I just think Timothy Spall gives such an outstanding performance and affecting performance as this guy, you know, as Peter, this guy who was revered and loved by his pupils, his family, respected. You know, he had, as Boyd said, those vulnerabilities of being closeted. You know, he felt very uncomfortable about his homosexuality and the conflict with his religion. And I just thought the way that, you know, this guy just manipulates him entirely and seduces him on an intellectual level more than a physical one at first, because, you know, Peter's not unintelligent. He's just inexperienced. And so as you referred to the bed, there's this moment where he's like, you know, they, as Boyd said, they get married and or they have a blessing. And then they get a double bed. And he's like, this is the first time in my adult life I've got a double bed. And just that line, I was just like, he's lived a very chaste life, and he hasn't been free. He hasn't felt that full freedom of living his true, you know, life. And I just think it was so sad to see. And, chilling how this guy, Ben, was able to manipulate him. And it's just, I think it's more harrowing than any sort of violent true crime
drama. Oh, yeah, it's devastating.
Drama. It's devastating. It's deeply disturbing. It's upsetting to see the degradation of this really dignified man, honest, upstanding man. And also, you know, the other victim who was Anne Moore, Martin, played by Anne Reed. But I just thought, and also just the way it was filmed, some of the handheld camera stuff, it just added to the whole sinister and creepy vibe to it all. I just think every part of this was done so well. And it's hard to watch, but as Boyd said, I think it is an important watch.
Yeah, it's directed by Saul Dibb, who does a brilliant job, as you say, with it. And Anne Reed is incredible. You see much more of her in episode two. But you know who I want to actually single out? Because I think Timothy Spall's going to win all the awards because he's extraordinary. But Ina Hardwick, who plays the killer, Ben Field, he is phenomenal. He's an Irish actor. He was there at the Q&A. And so he speaks in an Irish accent. But in this, he speaks in a kind of southern, there's something about his voice, his tone of voice that is incredible. Incredibly seductive.
It's mellifluous, isn't it?
In a subtle way. Almost like a kind of sing-song voice that you can almost hear the Irish
hypnotic
undertone. He's so brilliant in this. And without ever slipping into like obvious,
caricature,
turning him into like a monster or anything. Or even like a psychopath. I think he was a psychopath. He's a psychopath. He's still alive. But he is so brilliant. And everyone, and it was Anne Reed particularly, she was like, we have to have a round of applause for him, Ina Hardwick, because he does do a phenomenal job. Anne Reed and Timothy Spall, two of the absolute greats of British acting. But this young guy completely holds his own, brilliantly cast. Every level, the direction, the casting, Sarah Phelps is writing, it's just fantastic.
And this comes to BBC One when?
It's on Mondays and Tuesdays for the next 2 weeks.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Right. Finally, this week, we have 15 Love, which stars Ella Lily Highland as a former tennis prodigy whose career gets cut short due to an injury, and Aidan Turner as the coach who's since gone on to take another tennis star to glory. It all unwinds, though, when Turner's coach comes back into her life unexpectedly and accusations of sexual misconduct emerge. Advantage K.
This is a really good week for us, I think. I really enjoyed this a lot because it's just a... It's one of these dramas, it's a he said, she said, okay? And, I think the first episode does a really good job of setting the scene and sort of explaining what's going on and then also establishing that it's very ambiguous about who is telling the truth and who's not. So it's kind of like Justine herself, played by Ella, Lily Highland, is a really interesting character in that she's very impulsive and passionate, but she has very dark thoughts and she's very complex, she's angsty. It's hard to know how much of that is age, how much of that's just, you know, deep rooted. And you can't tell if she's just fixated and become a bit obsessed with her coach, who, let's face it, is very good looking and charismatic and charming, and, you know, or if actually he has abused his power. And as it escalates, I mean, I just found that, like, I couldn't stop watching this. And actually, I've watched three episodes because I just wanted to get to the root of it. Like, who is in the right? Who's in the wrong? Has he been gaslighting? Has he, like, manipulated her? Because he's quite a, you know, as a coach, he has to be quite firm with her and, you know, and dominate her in a certain way of, like, because she's very, like, stubborn and, you know, and hot-headed and stuff like that. And it's really just hard to work out the dynamics of this relationship and if there's any kernel of truth in it. And I just enjoyed both their performances and I just thought it was completely, yeah, just totally compelling. So I've watched three episodes. I will undoubtedly be watching more. But all in all, very good week for us, I think.
Yeah, it is really good. It just sets up the first episode. It begins with the two of them in the locker room at the French Open. Aidan Turner playing the coach, and Ella Lily Hyland playing the young prodigy. And there's a tension between them in the locker room, and it feels like she is kind of into him in that way, rather than above and beyond, you know, being friends and being like a coach pupil relationship. So immediately you're not sure, quite sure how to take it, and he kind of rebuffs her. This is the very first scene. I'm not spoiling it.
spoiler
alert, people out there. And I thought it was a really clever, it's a very well done scene of ambiguity. And then it flashes forward 5 years, to which, because she injures herself in that game, and she has to completely give up playing tennis and pivots to fitness and physiotherapy. She's already quite fit. And I just thought it was really clever how that scene plants all kinds of thoughts and ideas into your head and plays on the ambiguity between these two, and so you're not quite sure how to take it. And I mean, she's great, she is brilliant, but Aidan Turner again is showing how good he is, because he's brilliant at this stuff. I think he was in The Suspect. That was the last thing he did, the ITV series, which he kind of had to maintain almost right to the end as to whether or not he was a goodie or a baddie or not, and did it fantastically well. So I'm a huge fan of Aidan Turner, and so it's really well cast.
Oh, we all boyed.
Yes, it's really well cast. It's really well directed and shot. I thought it was very cinematic. I've only watched the first episode, but at the end of the first episode, it sets up the whole dichotomy, the whole dilemma of the show in a very clever way. So I'm riveted, yeah.
The only thing about this that didn't sit quite right with me, and I suspect, as I've only seen the first episode, this is a storytelling device, but very much the first episode pitches it as, so this sexual misconduct allegation comes on, he's terribly smooth, you see him being interrogated. It deliberately frames her as being a little bit unbalanced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's a particular shot of her looking in the mirror where she just looks properly crazy. And they've clearly deliberately done that.
Yeah. Mm.
And as you know, I had my Terry hat on. I could just, she'd been going, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, because she absolutely hates that. And I think it's that same thing, that it perpetuates this idea that this is a regular occurrence, which obviously it isn't. And I'm sure there's more to this. I've only seen the first episode, so I'm not commenting on the series as a whole. The idea that she's just making up to get back at him, right? Like that's certainly, in the first episode, that is a strong implication. Yes. I don't know where this goes from there. I have no idea what it does, but I thought some of those shots of her, whether it deliberately kind of makes her out to be vindictive and unhinged. Yes.
And also, sorry to interrupt, there's a moment with another character where they discuss something.
Right.
And that's the one for me where I was like,
Yeah. So,
I think it's written and directed by women in the main. I'm just
sure.
saying. I'm not saying that.
I wasn't saying that it was sexist. I know.
Yeah. I'm just saying that is interesting, though. If you're talking about multiple issues of like the male gaze or whatever,
I didn't think it had that. It was just that gave me pause. But this, I mean, and also, like, bearing in mind, I'm not a tennis fan. I don't understand the appeal of tennis or watching tennis. That's it.
So you hate all sport?
Pretty much. But I thought they handled the tennisness of this actually surprisingly well.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
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 A lot of obviously quick cuts to make up for the fact that they are not, in fact, professional tennis players. But you know,
I think they've done a bit of training. I think Aidan did a certain amount of training.
It felt quite tennis-y to me. You saw the people looking backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, which is my understanding of what happens at Wimbledon. So, you know.
I'm really annoyed that I didn't just film James doing the backwards and forwards thing with his head. He did a little kind of bobbly head from side to side thing.
That would be in a good boomerang.
It would be a very good little TikTok account.
Well, maybe we'll do it live at the podcast and then people can see it in the flesh. That'd be it.
A live bobby head.
Yeah. So good. I'm interested to see where it goes. I am interested to see where it goes and whether or not
I can't wait to go home and watch some more.
Yeah. It's quite compelling stuff.
They're all compelling for different reasons.
They are. None of them are foundation, unfortunately, but they are all compelling
Thank
for
God.
Different reasons.
I mean,
15 Love, then, which comes to Prime Video on Friday.
Yes.
Of course it does, because it's Prime Video.
Yeah.
What else is out this week? Quite a few things, as it happens. Not least of all, I would say Special Ops Lioness, starring Nicole Kidman and Zoe Saldana and a bunch of other awesome people. And that's on Paramount Plus. It drops on Sunday. I'm hoping we get to review that on Pilot Plus, but the embargo has yet to be announced. So we'll have to see. But whether we review it on Pilot Plus or not, Zoe Saldana will be on this very podcast next week talking about it because I hung out with her yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, at the best of times, James never lets us know what he's doing or interviewing anyone. Yeah. But no, with specials, he doesn't let us know. With interviews, we usually get kept abreast of it. Can anyone do this? For some reason, James didn't even mention this one.
I'll tell you what. Do you know what was great? It was at the Corinthia and the snack spread was fucking top notch.
Oh, James.
Absolutely. And also, my interview was like one of the first of the day. So the it was an untouched spread of pastries and cakes and stuff. Oh. I should have nicked some and passed them off as mine on the live show. But they had banana bread. They had banana bread there. It was great. Lovely.
Delicious. Yeah. Oh, Boyd and I went to the screening of it.
Yeah, we went to the screening. And we sat not 5 feet away from Nicole Kidman.
I walked past her. Yeah. She's very, I mean,
very Kidman-esque.
Incredible. Yeah, to look at.
Hopefully, we will get into a bit of lioness chat on Pilot Plus on Thursday.
But if you want more embargo complaints, they literally don't know what the embargo is.
They don't know what the embargo is.
The embargo is embargoed.
We don't know.
Yeah.
the announcement of the embargo.
We hope to find out. We hope to find out.
So we can't say what we think of Special Ops Lyonnaise potatoes.
Mm. Yeah, they had good snacks at the screening as well, actually.
Good.
Also
out this week, Dave Season 3, The Return of Lil Dicky.
Yes. My favourite.
On Disney Plus.
Disney Plus lands in full on the Wednesday. Very excited about that because it's a great programme.
Yep. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Wait, is this for next week?
No, this was this week. Also out this week.
Oh, yeah. Rob and Rom.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that in your...
I didn't say when, though.
Oh, okay.
Boyd, please do consult the magazine. I don't trouble myself with these details.
So you didn't say when because you don't know when.
No, I'll tell you then.
Go on.
It's on Wednesdays on the Sky Max.
On the Sky Max.
Yeah. There's also the start of the Women's World Cup, talking of sport, on Thursday morning. James, you'd be very excited to know.
Come, we've got to support the Lionesses, not just the special ops.
Genuinely.
If they don't come with machine guns, it's not really for me.
No. All American is on RTVX on Thursday. This is a kind of supposed... I've watched one episode, actually. I just stumbled upon it, as I do on RTVX. It's a massive hit in America. It's gone its fifth season, and it's about young American footballer, and he's played by a British guy called Daniel Ezra, who's supposed to be brilliant in it. So that is... that starts a new season, so that starts on RTVX on Thursday. I think that'll drop all at once. And that's about it, yeah.
What is our pick of the week? It's The Bear.
I mean, they're all good this week, but The Bear's brilliant. One of the all-time great things. I mean, The Sixth Commandment is fantastic, and the other one's very good as well.
15 Love.
The Bear is
how quickly you forget.
Right, that is it for this week's Pilot TV podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please do go and give us a rating of some kind. Give us five things.
Only
whatever
five
you like.
Stars.
Five
only
cakes,
five, stars,
five biscuits, five foundations, anything you want. Five somethings.
Quilts.
Five quilts. Send us five quilts. So bake us five brownies. Do whatever you want. Five of them. Apple Podcasts. Thank you very much. You can follow us on social media at Pilot TV Pod, at Kay Ribeiro, at Boyd Hilton, and of course at James C. Dyer. We're on Threads too, amazingly. Next week, on next week's show, I don't know what we're going to do, but there's a lot of stuff out from season two. Hey, Supernatural puzzle box show from. Maybe we'll get into that. Who knows? Good Omens season two comes to Prime Video. Heels, the wrestling show season two comes to Lionsgate. There's a bunch of other stuff
happening
as well.
Evil season three on Alibi.
Sick next
half
week.
Hour comedy The Power of Parker. James, get ready for that.
Oh, wow.
On
I think
BBC
none
One.
Of these are for me, are they?
Well,
The Power of Parker might be. That's, okay.
We shall have to discuss. We will gather and
he's
think
got
about
a glint
things.
In his eye.
Tell you what we'll do. If I get Taylor Swift tickets, we can do whatever you want.
If not,
hard sci-fi wall to wall to make me feel better. That's the deal.
Okay, listen.
That's the deal.
Shake.
All right, that's a
What's that you've agreed to, Kay?
It's too late.
If he gets Taylor's tickets, which he will,
you can do whatever you like.
We can choose whatever shows we want. We don't have to do whatever the dictator says.
And if I don't, then we're doing three hardcore sci-fi shows of my choosing.
That's ridiculous. There are three hardcore sci-fi shows.
I will find some.
He's going to get tickets.
The most elite of elite sci-fi. All right, that's it. We're done. Thank you for listening. Pilot out.